Hey, welcome back. It's Stephen Holder here with Horseshoes with Holder. It's been a while. I apologize. I've gotten off schedule a little bit. The holiday kind of screwed this week up. And then last week, just some things kind of got in the way. But I got to get back on track here. So I'm getting one in here before Sunday's kickoff against the Miami Dolphins. Indianapolis Colts now in a five-way tie for the final wildcard spot in the AFC right now, and this season's about to get interesting. So I definitely want to dive into some topics today because as I said, I've gone too long without doing this, and that's not what I signed up for. It's not what I promised you. So anyway, I'm back, and today I'll give you a quick rundown of some topics I want to touch on. I just want to talk a lot, frankly, about Andrew Luck because I think there are some areas that I haven't touched on, and maybe not enough people have touched on. About Andrew's specific comeback this year, some of the specific areas in which he's excelled. I think there's a lot there to talk about. So I'll hit on that. I want to talk about Frank Reich, who I think is just doing a phenomenal job. And I'll tell you, I want to share with you some thoughts I have on that. A little touching on the running game a little bit. I think there's some elements there to discuss. And then on defense, I want to talk about just what we're seeing in this pass rush. Is this for real? Is this something the Colts can keep up? I think that's going to have a big determinant in their ability to compete down the stretch. And then I want to talk about one of their young defensive backs who I think is in a really interesting time right now. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. So, as I said at the top, though, I do want to dive into Andrew Luck. Let's set things up. Now, Colts heading into Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins are 5-5. Both teams 5-5. This is a big game. Ryan Tannehill, it appears, is coming back. So the Dolphins may or may not have some rejuvenation there. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Not sure if he's the better option or if Brock Osweiler is the better option. But as it relates to the Colts quarterback, we know who that is, and that is Andrew Luck. And let's, first of all, talk about a couple of things. This guy right now, 29 touchdowns. He is on pace for a career high. He is, in so many measurements right now, just off the charts. And, I mean, I think we all kind of came to the realization at some point that he was going to play this year. That was never the issue. The issue for me was not would he play, but how he would play. And what we're seeing now, I have to say, is well beyond what I ever envisioned. And Andrew Luck right now is on top of his game. This might be the best football he's ever played. But more specifically, I want to talk about what we've seen in terms of his growth from week one until now. So over the course of the past 10 games, we have seen a much different Andrew Luck. Now, I know you'll hear that and respond and say, well, you know, hey man, he threw for 319 yards in the season opener. I mean, what's the big deal? And that's true. But think about this, okay? What did you see from Andrew Luck that day? You saw a very different approach. You did not see, you know, sort of an aggressive passing game. You did not see a guy who maybe was making the deeper throws, a guy who maybe had as much confidence in his arm because that was his first game, right? And he had not played that extensively throughout the preseason. And the preseason, the Colts were, I thought, had a very dumbed down offense, and it was very much a dink and dunk, and it was like check down city, okay? And I was wondering, man, this is not going to be that exciting. But we saw a little bit more week one, right? We saw a lot of scheme from Frank Reich, a lot of quick releases, getting the ball out. I think they averaged about 6 yards an attempt that day. But there really wasn't much in terms of aggressive passing game. And that, frankly, was the case for the first 3 weeks of the season. 6.6 yards per attempt against Cincinnati. 5.8 yards per attempt against Washington in week two. And then 4.1 against Philly in week three. And, you know, I started to wonder, man, can they consistently win without stretching the field at least and having a more aggressive passing game? And you had those questions too. And I tell you what, that question has completely dissipated over the last 6 or 7 weeks. This Colts offense, I think, has come into its own. And I think a large part of that is because Andrew Luck has now reached a point where he is confident in his shoulder and he's confident in the protection. So Andrew Luck's confidence now in both those areas is completely off the charts. Hasn't been sacked in 5 weeks, by the way. And his shoulder, you're seeing him now go through his progressions and wait for that deeper route to sort of develop in many cases, right? Whether it's the deep out, if it's sort of the corner route, if it's TY, whatever it is, he's showing more patience and waiting for that deep route to develop. And I frankly think it's because he has the confidence in his arm now, in his shoulder, and has had it for quite a while. I mean, this is something that it was always in question earlier this season. Would that shoulder be the same? And Andrew can say what he wants, okay? Andrew never likes to admit things, but I think he has said enough over the past few months, over the course of this year, that gave us enough information to reach the conclusion that, you know what, he doesn't know, okay? He didn't really know how the shoulder would hold up and whether it would allow him to be the same guy. I mean, I can sometimes I talk to the guy and I can tell what's really on his mind, but what comes out of his mouth is something completely different. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me. You're not being honest, right? And I think with his shoulder, this was very often the case. So what we're seeing now is he's got a yards per attempt average that's up near 7 yards per attempt. Now that's an aggressive offense. That's what you wanted to see. That's what you thought you would see. After three games, that average was 5.3. And that was something that I think was going to be very difficult to maintain. How are you going to win in today's NFL when you're throwing, you know, when you're averaging 5.3 yards per attempt? Now, they were a very efficient offense even earlier in the season, but it's just hard to score points that way. So now we're seeing the big play coming back. And last week's strike to TY down the seam, I mean, that's the magical sort of thing that we'd become accustomed to seeing in 2014. And that really was Andrew Luck's best season before this year. You know, are we back there? We'll see. But I think we're seeing a more efficient Andrew Luck. And we're seeing a guy who can make all those throws that he made in 2014. So when they're there, he's going to take them. But he's picking his spots a little more. And that's actually fine. They may not throw for as many yards, but he's going to throw for a lot of yards and he's going to do it efficiently. You see where his interceptions are right now. Doing a great job there. 9 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this is the most efficient Andrew Luck has ever played. So the big thing, though, my big takeaway is just the confidence he's got in the protection and the confidence he's got in his arm. And this is going to continue, I think, to be a much more aggressive offense as the season goes along. And again, I didn't think we'd get here when we were 3 weeks in. And we were actually asking Frank Reich questions like, you know, can you stretch the field? What happened to that? And he never really like wavered and never panicked and never like made a big deal about those questions. Like he kind of shrugged and he'd be like, yeah, we'll be fine. And I don't know if I believed him. And now I feel kind of stupid because what you're seeing now is, frankly, exactly what we thought we would. And kudos to Frank Reich, too, because he told us, he did sort of promise sort of a quick release offense, get rid of the ball, get it out quickly, not stress the pass protection. And that's been true for the most part. But the one thing I'd say is he has shown that he can be aggressive and he is willing to go down the field and really stress the defense. And that's what's happening, and that's helping Andrew Luck. That plays right into his hands. So I'm sorry if you're playing defense against the Indianapolis Colts right now. You've got a lot to deal with. So let's continue the point of Frank Reich, because I think this guy right now, with what he's doing, I don't know if he's getting enough credit. I really don't. And here's what I'd say about Frank Reich. Right now, he's out-scheming people, okay? This is not just about, all right, he's got a nice little offense and Andrew Luck is now a better player. That's happening, yes. But there are very specific instances where you can watch what's happening out there on the field and you can say, oh, he got him. Take last week's game, for example. So the Titans had a very unfortunate situation. Their Their defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, had a medical issue during the game and had to be taken to the hospital. So that was in the first quarter. Pretty early in the game, I saw them come up to the coach's box with a stretcher, and I was like, oh, that's not good. So this was pretty early in the game. Now, fortunately for them, they've got a pretty good defensive coordinator on staff. His name is Mike Vrabel, their head coach. Okay, so he took over the play calling, and really, there shouldn't be a ton of drop-off there, right? I mean, Mike Vrabel's been, frankly, a long-time defensive coach in this league. He was defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans for a couple years. So you wouldn't anticipate that there would be a ton of drop-off there to Mike Vrabel. Really shouldn't be much at all. And so, look, unfortunate as that was, they were able to step right in with Mike Vrabel. Now, as it relates to Frank Reich, it didn't make a difference. It didn't make one bit of difference. You saw the Colts offense come out and continue to do exactly what it wanted to do. The Titans were completely overmatched, and their personnel is pretty good. Okay, I thought the Titans were probably one of the most physical defenses they were going to play this year. And especially up front, I mean, those guys, they're very physical. And on the back end, they had actually been a very dependable pass defense throughout the season. And yet the Colts came out and did whatever they wanted. And so I think one play that really kind of shows you where Frank Reich is winning is the Jordan Wilkins touchdown. I forget how many yards it was, but what I love about it is they have this sort of jet sweep motion with Nyheim Hines. So it's Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins in the backfield. They have the jet sweep motion with Nyheim Hines. And half the time, Nyheim Hines is a decoy, right? Like, that's why he's perfect for Frank Reich, because he loves that. He wants to see what the matchups are. So he always motions Nyheim Hines, or he's always got him doing something funky. So as they snap the ball, or just before they snap the ball, they send Nyheim Hines in motion right behind Andrew Luck, and then here comes the snap, and he fakes the handoff to Hines. Well, they've run that quite a bit, and they are not above running that multiple times in a game. So the defense, I watched the tape, the defense, the linebackers freeze completely because they're watching Hines. They're like, okay, does he have the ball? Does he not have the ball? Now, they realize pretty quickly he doesn't have the ball. But by then, Jordan Wilkins is off to the races because they've already handed the ball to him, and he's already down there at the sideline. He gets a block, I think, from Ryan Kelly, by the way, who we'll get to that in a second. But Ryan Kelly takes out like two guys, and Jordan Wilkins is in the end zone. Now, everyone did their job perfectly on that play, right? The execution was way off the charts. Golden. However, the play design is what gets them at the end of the day. And that is where Frank Reich, I think, is just winning constantly against opponents. They just don't have a lot of answers for his schemes right now, and he's winning. And so as he becomes more comfortable in his scheme and starts to figure out his personnel more and more, it's only been 10 games. I know that sounds like a lot, but they're still in their first year together. All these guys are in this scheme, including the coaching staff, for the first time. So this is a process, right? But even so, you're seeing it really start to come into fruition. If this continues, then wait till Frank Reich gets like the players that he really wants, okay? Because remember now, this was done on the fly. This was done without a heavy dose of free agency. They have a very young team. So what you're seeing right now is not the finished product, okay? At some point, Frank Reich is going to have the personnel that he wants, that he really wants, and that is really sort of comprised and put together for his particular scheme. Right now, that's not what he has. He has some pieces, but he doesn't have all the pieces he wants. You wait till they tailor the personnel to the scheme, and people are going to be in trouble. I mean, I don't want to sound like a homer, because I'm not. And you know me, I will roast the Colts when necessary. And if you ask Chuck Pagano, he would not suggest that I am a Colts fan, I assure you. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm trying to give it to you straight, and I'm telling you what I see. Frank Reich is out-scheming people, flat out. He is out-coaching them. He's coaching his ass off right now. And I don't know how else to put it. So we'll see what happens this weekend. This is a nice little matchup, Adam Gase and Frank Reich. I think they're both very high-level offensive guys. We'll see what Adam Gase cooks up. But I tell you, man, if I'm if it was up to me, I don't know. I think I want Frank Reich on my team. If it's up to me, I just from what I've seen, I know I'm very close to it, and I'm not as close to other teams, so maybe that gets me a little bit jaded. But I don't know, man. I am seeing from this guy high level offensive stuff, and if this continues, as I said, it's only going to get better because Andrew Luck, as I already pointed out, he's gotten more confident. The protection is really settled in right now, and they're on their way. A couple quick points on offense before we move on. Ryan Kelly, I mentioned him, so he's not playing this week, and this is a problem. Ryan Kelly's been playing the best football he's ever played. I thought last year he struggled. His health was kind of a question mark from week to week. And then he had that concussion that forced him to go on injury reserve. So last year was kind of a lost year for Ryan Kelly. But he has really rebounded this year. And I really love the way he's played. And he's taken such a professional approach to this season in terms of taking on responsibilities at the line of scrimmage and calling out blitzes. And those are that's one of the reasons this pass protection has been as effective as it's been. I mean, yeah, Quentin Nelson helps. Yes, but Ryan Kelly, both one, playing very, very well, and two, I think cerebrally, mentally, really being on top of things, that has taken a lot of load off of Andrew Luck. So this is going to be certainly a drop-off. This is going to be a loss for the Colts. Evan Bame is going to start there. He's a pretty confident kid, I got to say. I really like the guy. I like his approach. He says all the right things. He's not phased by this, but and actually, I mean, when I talked to Evan Bame the other day, he was like, you know what, damn it, I'm excited. I am ready. I am so excited for this. And that told me something about the guy. It told me that he's not timid and he's ready for this. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to go out there and be a Pro Bowler on Sunday, but he's got the right attitude and he is not shy about this. He's not intimidated whatsoever. So those are all good signs. So we'll see how that goes. I don't think this is going to be a long-term injury for Ryan Kelly, but I can't promise you that he's going to be back the following week. I mean, we'll know more as we move forward, but the fact that they ruled him out for Sunday so early in the week tells me that this could be a couple weeks. So, but again, that can't be determined right now, and Ryan was very clear about that. He's got a knee sprain, basically, and you know, we were trying to determine whether, okay, is it a tear, is it a sprain? But, you know, he made a good point. You know, a sprain is a small tear. And that's just kind of how it works. It really just boils down to the severity of it and whether it's one that can be played with using a brace. That's something he's going to try to do next week. We'll see how it goes. But just keep your fingers crossed on that one. It's going to be touch and go for a little bit. I also want to touch on the running game. Not a whole lot of production against Tennessee. But that's okay. I mean, they kind of figured that would happen. They took what they gave them, and they gave them the deeper throws, and the Colts took them. So I don't think there's anything there to really complain about or even be concerned with. The one thing I'd say, and this is a positive, when the Colts have struggled to run the ball this year, at least in more recent weeks, they've stuck with it. And I think that has been a key to the balance in their offense because I think it's made the passing game more effective because if you're a defense and you're stuffing the run, look, at some point you expect that the offense is going to give up on it. But the Colts, in part because they've kind of been in these games and have had control of the score, they haven't had to sort of bail on the running game. Early in the season, Frank Reich did do that. He ran into problems with the running game and he just kind of just bailed on it. But in large part, that was oftentimes because of the score. Now that the scores have been manageable, he hasn't had to do that. So I think I still applaud his discipline for sticking with the running game. And what happens is you're sometimes going to pop one, and maybe you can draw something up that gets you a running lane, and then you get a big run. And that's how you run consistently over the course of a season. I talked about the Jordan Wilkins play, right? I mean, it's one of their biggest plays of the day, yet it came on a day when they didn't run the ball at all, right? It barely had any success running the ball. Well, because you stick with it, at some point, you're going to be able to pop one or two, and that gives the defense something to think about. So now they can't just drop seven in the coverage every time, seven or eight. They've got to think about, man, if we give them that lane, they're going to take that running lane, and Andrew Luck's going to switch to a perfect play, and we may be in trouble. So those are the kinds of things that I think you put on the defense's shoulders when you stick with the running game. So I think Frank Reich deserves some credit for doing that, and the Colts have it's paid off. That patience has paid off at times. And even when it doesn't, understand what he's doing. He's looking for balance, and the balance is a big part of his scheme being successful. So it's very important that they do that. So anyway, let's take a break here for a word from our sponsor. I'll be back in just a moment.
I want to tell you guys about TickPick. We've got a new promo code. Now, the last promo code was only good through November 30th. Now, this one has been updated. It is good through the end of the season because you guys have been buying tickets, apparently using it. They love it. We love it. Now we've got to deal with them throughout the rest of the season. Let's talk about it. Got a great deal for you guys with TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game, which would be a great game to go to, by the way, and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seat you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. Save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for you guys, they're offering you this deal of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts. New promo code alert, SB Colts, as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer. Told you guys that before. If you've had the app and you haven't used it yet and you haven't used this promo code, you're good for it. Not only do I use TickPick, but I talk to these guys wanting to get the word out about this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want when they get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another app again for tickets. It's a very user-friendly app, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts. New promo code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this excellent offer today. 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees.
All right, and we're back. So let's turn our attention now to the defense. Lots going on there. I know coming out of, I'd say, the Jacksonville game, I tell you, I wrote a column on The Athletic, and what I said was basically the defense, you shouldn't jump to conclusions about the defense, basically, is what I kind of said. And I don't know if anybody really bought that, but I believed it at the time. Listen, what I was trying to say was not that, look, the defense is awesome. Okay, they're not, necessarily. But what I was trying to, the point I was trying to make is, number one, you can't judge the scheme 10 games in when you don't have all the players you need. I mean, if you're judging the Colts scheme right now, and judging Matt Eberflus as a waste of air, then you really are not a patient person, okay? Because what are you basing it on? You're basing it on a bunch of guys who've kind of been thrown together, okay? Not specifically tailored to this scheme. So they're just a bunch of guys, and they're trying to play a new scheme, some of whom fit the scheme, some of them don't. And it's a first-year scheme. It takes time. So I just got really frustrated with people saying, oh, this scheme's terrible. Why are they playing this? Here we go again. Dungy's Colts couldn't stop anybody. Well, you don't know any of those things. Okay, let's just be honest. Now, it's okay to criticize, and it's okay to point out what's happening. Look, they were giving up a lot of yards. I mean, they've won these games, but they did give up a lot of yards against the Jaguars. They did give up some big plays. I get that. But I would say a couple things. Number one, they definitely have a knack for big plays on defense. And that has always, always, always been one of the bedrocks of this defensive philosophy. You've got to be able to make big plays. They force turnovers. That's something that I think is a huge measurement. And they also don't allow a lot of big plays. Now, your first reaction to that would be like, well, yeah, Dante Moncrief on line one, and I get that, right? The 80-yard touchdown, that was terrible, ugly, should never happen. But here's the deal. This defense is designed to prevent big plays, and it has, for the most part. They are top five in the NFL in preventing big plays right now. They are absolute top five across the league. That 80-yard touchdown was the first 40-plus touchdown of the year the Colts have allowed. They were the last team in the league to allow such a touchdown. Now, that doesn't get you a trophy or anything. I'm just making the point. It's effective. It actually does accomplish the goals it sets out to accomplish. Force turnovers, prevent the big play. Those are two huge elements of this scheme. The Colts have been successful in both. So don't tell me the scheme's not working, because it's doing what it's designed to do. Now, what they have to also do is get the pass rush. They got to match that pass rush with the other elements. That has been hit and miss, as you well know. But we saw a resurgence this week. Okay, what we saw against Tennessee, now that's something to build on. And I think this all started, frankly, in week 10, I guess, with Tyquan Lewis coming back. And you saw him, look, they got shut out that day. They didn't get to Blake Bortles against the Jaguars. But you saw Lewis with some really strong rushes. And I know I was thinking as I was watching, I was like, man, if they can get him out there and get him going and get Kamoko Touré going and get Jabal Sheard going, if they can get those guys going like at the same time, they're going to really have something. Now, if they're all hit and miss, one on, one off, one on, one off, then it's not going to be as effective. Well, we saw them finally get their timing right against Tennessee last week, and they really made it hard on their quarterbacks. And even, Marcus Mariota, even when he was in there for the first half of the game, as elusive as he is, they made it tough on him, man. And I think what you're seeing now is that confidence starts to grow in those young guys. All right, Tyquan Lewis is only going to get better. Kamoko Touré, if he can stay on the field, and we know injuries were a question mark for him coming out of college. He missed a lot of games. But if he can stay on the field, I think for him, it's just going to be consistency. That kid has talent, and he has get-off. But he's got to do a couple things. He's got to diversify his pass rush moves, and then he's just got to manage to be more consistent and add a little power to his game as well. That would help. But we saw him really, I think, start to turn the corner a little more on Sunday. So, and then, frankly, the guy who I think really deserves a lot of credit is Jabal Sheard. He's not a guy I spend a lot of time talking about. And it's partly because he's not a guy who talks a lot, right? I mean, Jabal is one of my favorite guys in the locker room, but he's not going to talk about himself. He doesn't really do that. A couple of things. Number one, he has done a great job of mentoring. He has done a great job taking those young pass rushers under his wing. He and Tyquan Lewis are inseparable, okay? You see these guys, they're always together at the facility, always together in the locker room. Their lockers are right next to each other, which is probably by design. And he has really embraced that role of kind of being the mentor among those pass rushers. And I think he's fine with it. He really likes it. He's actually enjoying watching these guys really come into their own. But Jabal himself, really, I think, is having a very big effect, a much bigger effect this year, I think. Even though he's done it quietly sometimes, sometimes he's the guy who draws the attention but doesn't necessarily get the quarterback hit or the sack. But he's the guy who is maybe, having to draw an extra defender and somebody else gets off. So he's doing a great job. He's got 5.5 sacks right now. That matches the number he had in all of 2017. But again, it's never really always about sacks with Jabal Sheard. I mean, he's not your featured pass rusher anyway, so his sack numbers are never going to be super high, and I don't ever expect them to be. So the fact that he's got 5.5 through 10 games, I think, frankly, is pretty good. But what you want from Jabal Sheard is to, number one, really tough against the run, which he is, and the Colts have done a great job against the run this season. He's a big reason for that. And then the other thing I'd say is, you want him to be able to win when he gets those one-on-ones and he gets sort of premier opportunities. And he's done that on many occasions. He's gotten significant pressure. It's not about sacks all the time. It's about pressure. He's had some very good rushes this year. And I just really think Jabal Sheer deserves a lot of credit. We kind of gloss over him a lot of times because it's sexier to talk about the high draft picks. And I get that, you know, Teray and Lewis, and they deserve some credit of their own. But I really do think that Jabal Sheer is a big reason when the pass rush is successful. Jabal Sheer has had a lot to do with that. So when he plays well, I think you see the pass rush level get kicked up a notch. So if they can keep this going, it's going to be a key. Look, the pass rush is going to determine in large part how this season goes. Now, they're an offensive team, and they're going to outscore people most of the time when they do win. But the pass rush has to be there. So there's a couple of things. I see some opponents down the stretch here. Opponents like Houston, Jacksonville, Dallas, who I watched yesterday. Okay, their passing game is coming into its own. Even the New York Giants. Listen, I mean, they certainly have weapons. One of the things that's key in all of those games is the pass rush can have a huge impact on those games. Houston doesn't have great pass protection, but they do have certainly a definite bona fide passing game. So you've got to do whatever you can to make it tougher because your defensive backs are going to be in over their heads against those guys, as you know. Jacksonville, they let Bortles sit in the pocket last time, and you saw what happened, right? They got out of there by the skin of their teeth. You can't do that again when they go down there in a couple weeks. You got to get after Bortles. You make him a different quarterback when you pressure him. He doesn't make good decisions. Okay, just bottom line. And certainly Dak Prescott, you saw what Dallas did on Thanksgiving Day. I think the Colts have to find a way to get pressure on him because if you don't, I mean, Amari Cooper has proven to be quite the weapon. And if you let him, pull off a double move, those DBs are going to be in trouble. So you can't let Amari Cooper have the double move. The Colts are not going to be able to defend it. So the pressure's got to be there up front, and you've got to be in Dak Prescott's face. So that pass rush down the stretch is going to be everything for this team. That is going to be a huge determinant of where they go and whether they get to the postseason. So in keeping with the defense, staying on subject there, one guy I want to talk about is Quincy Wilson. Now, I'll start with mentioning a competitor, Zach Kiefer, who I worked with for 5 years at the Indy Star. Zach had a good story the other day about Quincy Wilson, you know, kind of taking his cues from Mike Mitchell when he came in this season and really being a veteran presence in the secondary, which I thought was missing all along. That secondary is just so young. It doesn't really have any real leadership back there. So Mike Mitchell has been able to provide some of that. And Quincy Wilson, kudos to him for going to Mike Mitchell and seeking out his help and seeking out, you know, his ability to watch. You know, I want to find out how you watch tape. I want to find out what your secrets are and that kind of thing. And credit to Mike Mitchell for willingly jumping in and doing that and showing him the ropes. So apparently they've been spending a lot of time together in the film room and just a lot of time together overall. And this has apparently opened Quincy Wilson's eyes. And I'll tell you why I'm mentioning this, besides the fact that it's certainly good news for Quincy Wilson. But my observation here is this is absolutely great news. And the reason for it is Quincy Wilson is one of those guys who, look, he's always talked a good game for the most part. But I also sometimes felt like he was going through the motions. Like, do you really care, Quincy, or are you just kind of happy to be here? And I'm not ripping this kid. I like Quincy. I know his dad. I like Quincy a lot. What I did wonder, though, was whether he was just kind of, you know, a lot of times we see this with young players. They get to the NFL and it's like, all right, I'm here. I get paid now. And this is, you know, this is the life. This is what I always dreamed of. When in reality, you're only at the starting point. That's the starting line when you get there, when you're drafted. That is when you really have achieved nothing, okay? You've gotten in the door. Congrats. Now you got to stay there. Now you got to prove you belong. And so I wondered, you know, whether Quincy had that understanding. And I mean, he's a young kid, right? I mean, it would be totally understandable if he did not. But this, to me, is a great indicator that he does get that. And what did you see? You saw Quincy with his first interception on Sunday. And I would also credit Matt Eberflus. He talked the other day about the fact that they are kind of using some different, they're using a different approach with Quincy. You've seen him matched up against, not so much on the outside sometimes. He's been in the slot at times. He's been in sort of a dime corner at times. So he's been a little bit all over the field. And I think it, I wonder if it kind of takes him back to a little more of his man-to-man, you know, playing days at Florida, for example, and last year as a rookie. Quincy Wilson, in my opinion, Quincy Wilson is a man-to-man corner. And he has been, I think, a guy who has been sort of affected in a negative way by this scheme change. I don't think he benefited from this scheme change. Quincy Wilson had, I think, much more playmaking ability in the old defensive scheme as a press man corner. I mean, first of all, he's big. He's a guy who can be physical. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want as a press man corner. Well, they don't play press man for the most part in this scheme, and I think Quincy has not benefited from that. So I've been watching this for a while, and it's something I think that I've been noting mentally, and I finally just said, you know what, I'm just going to say this because I think that's what's happening here. And I wonder if this is just going to take some time for him to adjust. But anyone out there who's been talking about giving up on Quincy Wilson, that's ridiculous. Quincy Wilson has talent. They just got to figure out a way to make him effective within this scheme because I don't think it really accentuates his strengths. That is not his fault. So to suggest that they should give up on Quincy Wilson is ridiculous because he has ability. The fact that they haven't been able to get it out of him, well, that's on them. They got to figure this out. Now, the other side of the coin is Quincy having to take this really seriously and take some steps of his own. And so now we're seeing that, and I think that's a great sign for everybody involved. So I'm going to be watching him very closely as we go down the stretch here because he's a guy that I think they want to have a handle on going into 2019 because they certainly have to reevaluate their cornerback situation and figure out what they need to add there and how they need to direct resources to that position. So they need to know what Quincy Wilson is and they need to have a handle on who he's going to be. And so maybe we'll find out a little more here going down the stretch. But I do think I have a little more optimism based on what I've seen the last couple of weeks. And we'll just see. It's up to him and it's up to the Colts to get it out of him. I think it's there. So I'm going to wind this down. I think there's going to be lots to talk about after this coming Sunday. We'll know a lot more about where they are in the playoff race. A lot of things are going to kind of, I mean, there won't be a ton of separation, clearly, but every Sunday is going to sort of give us a little more insight into where this is going because the standings will change and we'll just have a little more to work with. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun. I am more intrigued to cover this team than I've been in a long time. Last year at this time, you know what we were talking about, probably the NFL draft. So things have changed quite a bit. So thanks for listening. I'm going to go eat some Thanksgiving leftovers, maybe settle in and watch some football. Oh, no, wait. I gotta go to practice. I'm taping this on Friday morning. We got practice today, so I got to work. But anyway, after that, I'm definitely watching football, and I'm definitely eating leftovers. So I hope you're doing the same. Don't spend too much out there on Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that good stuff. And I'm going to try to do the same. Enjoy the game. Check me out on The Athletic. We've got a Black Friday sale if you're hearing this in time to catch it. 50% off. I hope you subscribe. I hope you're enjoying it if you already have subscribed. I'm Stephen Holder. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, hopefully with more to talk about. And this is Horseshoes with Holder.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain, or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission, or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.